So we're in a Sunday teaching series called Why, and we are looking at some of the questions that people ask and that we might well ask from time to time. So I'm kind of in a difficult position today because last Sunday, Charlotte gave us a masterclass on preaching. And now I've got to follow that. If you were not here last Sunday, if you have not yet had the opportunity of here last Sunday, when Charlotte taught on why does God say no, I really want to encourage you. Go to our website, go to YouTube, go to Facebook, and you can watch it there. Some really good stuff that I know a lot of you said you found very helpful indeed. So why is what we're kind of focused on this month. Kids are the experts on why, aren't they? Like to the state of annoying, right? It's like, you know, it's time for bed. Why? Because it's 7:30 and that's your bedtime. Why? Because you need to get up in the morning and go to school. Why? Right? Because you want to grow up to be smart. Why? Because if you're smart, you can get a good job. Why? Because if you've got a good job, you have some money. Well, why do I need money? And well, you need money to buy things and pay for things and all kinds of things like that. Well, why do I need money? And eventually it goes on and you come down to the ultimate, because I said so and I'm your father. Right? It's like, that's the end of it. All right, let's end it here. Kids are absolute experts at that. But why is a healthy question in general? And this morning, we're going to come to a question which you might have asked, and if you haven't asked it yourself, there's a pretty good chance that others will have posed this question to you. And the question is, why hell? You've probably been asked that in some form. If God's a God of love, why does God send people to hell? Why hell? And I want to look at it this morning, and it's not just an academic subject that I'm going to give you an answer for a question. I hope in this detail you're going to find things that are uplifting as well as perhaps being, you know, instructive as well. And I want to take a look at what it's all about, why it is, and what it tells us about God and how it impacts our lives. But there's something I want to clear up right up front. And that is this. In the book of Romans and chapter 8 and verse 1, it says this. Now we know this. God has forgiven those people who are united with Christ Jesus. God will never say that they are guilty. All right, so that's an important truth for us to remind ourselves of. Every one of us who is a follower of Jesus needs to stand rock solid on this. God has forgiven us, and God will never say that we are guilty. Have you got that? Let me throw it out to you in a way that some of us learned that verse, or in words that some of us learned it in. And it goes like this in the King James Version. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. I like it that way, actually. No condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. There is never any thought in my mind, will I make it to heaven? Is there a chance that I will miss out? And you know why there's never a doubt in my mind? Because I believe the stuff I preach. That's why I've got no doubt. The fact is, if I am in Christ Jesus, there will be no condemnation. The Bible says, I have passed from death to life. It's happened. It's a done deal. My eternity is settled standing here this morning, and so is yours if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the starting point we just all need to remind ourselves of, okay? So I don't want you to get the idea. He's talking about hell today. I wonder. If you know the Lord, it's settled for now and for all of eternity. But the fact is, the Bible does teach about hell. Hell is not a fantasy, it is a reality. Now, the thing is this, teaching on hell doesn't fit in too well with the 21st century, I know. Okay? It's not that cool. 21st century kind of thinking is, well, you know what? If people want to do things, then you know what? If it's good for them and it doesn't hurt anybody else, then who am I to say anything about them? Who am I to judge anybody? Hey, they're not hurting anybody. It's their life. It's their choice. So let's leave them alone. It's okay. But if you take the Bible seriously, hell is in there. Jesus talked about it. In fact, Jesus talked about it quite a lot. He talked about it so much that we can't ignore it. Look at what it says in Matthew 5, verse 29. If your right eye makes you sin, take it out and throw it away. It's better to lose one part of your body than to have your whole body thrown into hell. Heavy one there. I'll give you a really heavy one. Are you ready? Jesus says to all the religious leaders, Matthew 23, 33, you are snakes. You're from a family of poison snakes. You will not escape God. You'll all be judged guilty and go to hell. Well, I said go to hell in church, but I was only quoting the Bible, okay? You will all be judged guilty and go to hell. So man alive, he was shooting with both barrels there. He gave them everything that he'd got. But I want you to notice who he was talking to. He wasn't there trying to woo people into his kingdom. He was saying to the religious leaders who thought they didn't need him and were leading other people away from God, he said to them, you're going to be judged guilty and you're going to go to hell. But actually, as we go down this road this morning, I hope you'll get a better understanding that it wasn't total vindictiveness on Jesus' part when he said that. There's something we need to really be aware of when it comes to thinking about hell. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, Jesus says this, then I will turn to those on my left and say, away with you, you cursed ones. Now, notice this next bit in particular, will you? Into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. All right, I want you to grasp that bit. The eternal fire, there's hell. The eternal fire was prepared for, why did God make hell? God made hell for the devil and his demons. He made hell because hell is their ultimate destination. The devil ends up there. You read through to the end of the Bible in the book of the Revelation, you find that. It talks about, and the devil is cast into hell. And it's the end of him, and it's the end of his influence and all of his followers as well. But why hell? Because God made hell for the devil and for his demons. In the Living Bible's translation there, it talks about into eternal fire. And in the Gospels, when we read hell, it's basically a translation of a Greek word, or it's generally the translation of a Greek word, which is Gehenna. And Gehenna was a term that everybody understood. Gehenna was a valley outside of the city of Jerusalem where historically some awful things happened. There was idol worship, which included the sacrifice of children. And then as time went by, it just became the place. It was the tip. It was the local dump. It was where you threw everything, and everything was burned there at Gehenna. Any of the stuff you wanted to throw out, that's where you took it. That's where it went. Whether it was furniture you didn't need, or whether it was an animal that just died, whatever it was, there was this constant fire in Gehenna outside of Jerusalem, and the constant stench of the contents of the dump and of them burning as well. And that's the term that Jesus used to describe hell. It was a vivid thing for the people. It was an awful place in every meaning of the word. So from what Jesus taught, hell is a place of sorrow, of unquenchable flames, of separation from what Jesus taught, hell is forever. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was called the Prince of Preachers, English preacher from a long time ago. And here's what he said about hell. He said, in hell, there is no hope. The damned have not even the hope of dying, the hope of being annihilated. They are forever, forever, forever lost. On every chain in hell, there is written forever. In the fires there blaze out the words, forever. Above their heads they read, forever. Their eyes are gold and their hearts are pained with the thought that it is forever. That was scary preaching. But Jesus didn't talk about hell to scare people into submission. He talked about it in the context of the kingdom of God. His message was, the kingdom of God has come, be a part of it. Hell, in contrast, was the result of saying, no thanks to that invitation. No thanks, I'll do life my way. And so hell is less about God sending someone somewhere, but hell is more about people choosing to walk away from the life God offers. And if you walk away from the life God offers, there's only one other destination. So that brings me to my second point here, and this is an important one to grasp. Hell is not a sentence, it is a consequence. Hell is not a sentence, it is a consequence. And you know where that puts the emphasis? Hell is not the place God sentences people to. Hell is the consequence of the choices and the decisions that people make themselves. Hell is a picture of life without God. But if you choose to live without God in this world and in this life, it is the continuation and the outcome of the choice that you've made. When people say, I don't need God, I don't want God, I don't want your way, I don't need your love, I don't need your presence. Here's the sobering part. God respects our freedom to choose. God never barges into anybody's life. So if someone says, I don't want you, God, you know what God says? Okay. Okay. Brokenheartedly, but God says, okay, that's your choice. He knows the outcome of that choice. They perhaps don't appreciate the outcome of that choice. But as I mentioned a couple of Sundays ago, because God wanted real people who would follow him because they chose to, it means to say he made us with the potential that it could go wrong. Let me put it this way. Imagine you're invited to a special party, and it's going to be an incredible event. There's going to be great food and great music and a lot of really good people there. But you say, you know what? I'd rather stay at home by myself. You've made your choice. It doesn't mean the person throwing the party is mean because they left you by yourself out there. It means you chose to be out there and they didn't come and drag you along to where you didn't want to be. God wants everybody to come to the party. But he never drags us, he invites us, right? Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Right? He doesn't, you know, God doesn't go into our lives and say, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow the door down. He says, I'm knocking. If you'll open the door, I'll come in. Guess what? If you don't open the door, he doesn't come in. Where does that leave you? It leaves you outside without God. So hell becomes a consequence rather than a sentence. It's the ultimate consequence of saying, I'm good on my own. I take care of my life. I live my way. And if you reject Jesus, the fact is there is no other way to heaven. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There is salvation in no one else. Under all heaven, there is no other name for men to call upon to save them. Right? There's salvation in nobody else. So if someone will not follow Jesus, there's not salvation anywhere else. There's only one name under heaven by which you can be saved, the Bible says, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and they will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus saying real clear there, I'm the way to eternal life, and if you come through me, then you're going to find eternal life. He is the way. He said that in John 14 and verse 6. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So if somebody says, I don't want Jesus, if somebody says, I don't believe that stuff, there is no other way. And because there is no other way, hell is a consequence. It is not a punishment. It's kind of like the animals going on board Noah's Ark. It's like, you know what? If you listen to what the guy is telling you and go in, you'll be safe. If not, you're going to be treading water, but then ultimately you're going to drown. The heart of God is for us to have eternal life. Man, that's the gospel. The heart of God is for us to find salvation. And never forget, God went to great lengths so that we could find him and know him. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God's plan is that nobody perishes. God's plan is that everyone has eternal life. And he loved us all so much that he gave the most precious thing he had to make that possible. God wants us to know him. God wants us to belong to him. Hell is not a sentence. It's a consequence. It's only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus. God sent his son. Jesus came into this earth so that we could find him and find the way to eternal life. But if you reject the way to eternal life, there's no other way. Our eternal destiny is not merit-based. There's nobody in this room who'll go to heaven because they earned it. And yet so often, you know, we can slip into that mindset. Oh, I've got to keep God happy. I need to please God. And that's got nothing to do with our eternal salvation. Romans 6:23 reminds us the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. So if I say, you know what? Here's the gift of eternal life. If you don't take that gift, you haven't got it. And the alternative to eternal life, the Bible says, is eternal death, which is separation from God. Now, there's a genuine question that comes up here. If I say, I'm telling you what the Bible says. If the Bible tells us there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus. If the Bible says there's not salvation, you can't find salvation in anybody else except through the Lord Jesus. And then I say, hell is actually a consequence of rejecting Jesus. It's a consequence of saying, I'll live my own life without God. And God says, hey, if you want to live without me, you live without me. And that becomes the person's eternal condition without God. But then there's the very genuine question, but what about those who have never heard about Jesus? Right? What about them? If people are eternally lost because they refuse to follow Jesus, what about those who've never heard of Jesus? And you know what? A couple of weeks ago when we started this series, I said, I'm not going to give you all the answers because I haven't got them all. Right? And I'm going to tell you this, I can't fully get my head around that, but I'm going to give you a Bible verse that someone gave to me, showed to me when I was a teenager that has really helped me. The book of Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25, it says this about God. You are the great judge of everyone on earth. You will surely do what is right. I can rest with that statement. God, you will surely do what is right. But what about those who live in obscure countries on other continents who've never heard about Jesus? They live in remote places where missionaries have never been. What about them? God, you will surely do what is right. I can't answer every question. You can't answer every question. But we better know the answer to the questions. We better know that the answers that we can know to the questions that are vitally important. What I can know is this. Where do I stand with God? That's important to know. This Sunday morning, watching us at home, sitting here in-house, it's important for you to be able to answer with absolute confidence the question of where do you stand with God? Because you are hearing, if you had never heard it in your life before, and I don't believe this will be the absolute first time, but if you had never heard this in your life before, you're hearing it right now. There is only one way to eternal life, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one way to find God's forgiveness, and that's through Jesus. And the Bible says that the person who has the Son, if you receive Christ, those who have the Son have life. Those who do not receive the Son do not have life. And now here's the situation for us this morning. That is, if you had never heard this before, you have heard it here this Sunday morning. So that puts you in a position now where you could never stand before God and say, well, I never heard, I never knew, I never realized, because you've heard this morning that God loved you so much that he sent his Son, so that if you would believe in him, you would have everlasting life. And the good news for you today is if you will believe in Jesus this Sunday morning, you can have everlasting life. You have heard. What about those who haven't heard? I can't answer every question there. I can't dot every I and cross every T. But here's something I do know. I'm going to quote it in the King James again. Sorry. Where it says this, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's what I know. I know God will do what is right, even though I can't answer every question. So hell is a consequence more than a sentence. And then here's where the rubber meets the road. Our belief about hell shapes our view of God. You see, if our belief about hell is that God's just the cosmic judge waiting to zap people and to send them into the flames of hell, then you're probably going to live in fear and resentment. If you think there's a chance that, you know, you're going to be dropped into the fire of hell for eternity, then you know what? You're going to have a very scary picture of God. But if you see God as a loving Father who has done everything he possibly could to invite you into a relationship with him, then that changes everything. It gives us an insight into the extent of God's love for us and for those that are still lost. Because it's not just about us when we understand this. Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells a story about two men. One he says was a rich man, one was very poor, and they died. And the rich man went to hell and the poor man went to heaven. And here's what it says about the rich man in verse 23. It says, his soul went into hell, and there in torment he saw Lazarus in the far distance. That was the poor man. With Abraham. It's like, so here was their destiny. Now, let me tell you this. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. The rich man went to hell because he rejected God's ways. Lazarus didn't go to hell because he got the consolation prize because he'd had a rough deal during life. Lazarus went to heaven because he trusted God and was a follower of God. But here's what the rich man said in the place of torment. He said, "Will somebody go and warn my family? Will somebody go and warn my family?" For every one of us here today who's a follower of Jesus, let me read the words of Jude and verse 23. Some people are in great danger. You must save them from the fire of God's punishment. Also, be kind to people who have done wicked and disgusting things, but be careful, do not let their sins make you bad too. Man, I could spend a whole Sunday in that verse. Do you have to be anywhere? Some people are in, and you know, you know them. Some people you and I know are in great danger because they've chosen their own way. And look what the scripture says here. You must save them from the fire of God's punishment. How do you do that? Be kind to people who have done wicked and disgusting things. Be kind to them. Be careful. Don't let their sins make you bad too. You don't take their sin on board, and you don't say their sin is okay. But be kind to people who have done wicked and disgusting things. I wish a lot of Christians I've come across in this life would have grasped this. How do we help to save people from God's punishment? Be kind to them. Be kind to them. Don't threaten them. Don't warn them. Don't tell them to change their ways or they're going to go to hell. Don't write stupid posts on Facebook that tell people eternity's a long time without Jesus. Oh, dear God, stop it. Stop it. You know what the scripture says? It says the goodness of God brings us to repentance. The goodness of God. We talk about the goodness of God. We talk about how much God really loves us. We talk about how much God really wants us. God has given us the responsibility that there are people we know who are bound for a Christless eternity. And the Bible says, you must save them from the fire of God's punishment. Now, we know ultimately Jesus saves them. But how do we help them to get to that point? We help them to get to that point that though they may have done wicked and disgusting things, we're kind to them. Jesus talked about our good deeds helping people to give glory to God. Be kind to people. We let them know and we remind them. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came to give life, life that is full and good. We talk about life that is full and good. And you know what? We don't talk about life that's full and good in an abstract way. We talk about how God fills our life and how God is good to us. And we share the stories with people as opportunities arise. And we tell them about the goodness of God. When people reject God's offer of salvation, they're lost. But when they choose to go God's way, they find eternal life. So why hell? Well, fundamentally, to punish the devil forever. And his days are numbered. Why hell? It's the only option for people who don't want to go God's way. And then just to remind ourselves, it's something God is desperate to save people from. And he's done all that he can for them to be rescued. So what do we do with this? I said at the start, I don't want this just to be academic. What do we do? Here's number one, lean into God's love. Recognize, remember how much God cares about us and wants us to be his and not to be lost. The story of the Bible isn't about a God who's eager to punish. It's about a God who longs to save. It's about the God who sent his son to make a way for us. John 3:16 doesn't end with so that everybody goes to hell. It ends with so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what you call amazing grace. That's why God sent Jesus. Lean into God's love. And then the second thing is this. Invite somebody to the party. Invite people in. Encourage them in. Don't tell them how bad they are. They know. You don't know by now. You see, if hell is life without God, then the best way to respond is to help others discover life with God. Some people got no idea what it's like to know God and to serve God because they've seen this awful picture of Christians painted for them. They've seen an awful picture of church painted for them, and they've decided, I don't want that. They haven't rejected God. They've rejected God's pathetic representatives that they've seen. I'd better wind down because I'm getting wound up. Who in your life needs to know how much God values them? Who in your life needs to be aware of how good life is, knowing Jesus and serving God? Maybe it's a coworker who's struggling. Maybe it's a friend who's skeptical. Maybe it's a family member who's drifted away. Don't threaten people. Invite them. Here's a great verse. I'm wrapping up now, honestly. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. God wants us to pull people from the fire. And you know what a good starting point is? Let them know what life is like when you know him and are following him. Hell is real, but hell isn't the point. The point is God's great love. The point is God wants us to be his, and he's done everything to invite us into a relationship with him through Jesus. The cross is the promise of life that starts now and goes on forever. And the question is simply this. The question isn't, do you believe in hell? The question is, have you believed in Jesus? Have you given your life to Christ? Have you become a follower of the Lord? And if you haven't, I want to encourage you right here and right now to take that step. Let's pray together. God, I thank you today for your unbelievable love. You so loved every single one of us that you sent Jesus into this world to die in our place so that trusting in him, we will not perish, but we will have everlasting life. And God, I pray for those watching, those here in person, who haven't yet made that commitment, that in these moments, God, you would give them the faith and the courage to open their hearts and their lives to you. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. And Lord, will you give me the gift of eternal life? Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart today. Open the door and say, Lord, please come in and be my Savior And a prayer as simple as that will not only change this life, but it will change your eternity. Thank you, Father. Amen.